Okay, you're on, Diane.
Hi, I'm Diane, compulsive overeater. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous now for about 35 years. Actually, I came in when I was 40 years old, and I'm 75 years old now. So I've been around for quite a while. I've been maintaining a 200-pound weight loss. And I am really very grateful for Overeaters Anonymous. One thing I'd like to just say is that lately I feel like I'm just not as well. I was never perfect. I have been struggling with a few things on my food plan. And I feel like I'm just really don't want to. I'm still thinking that I can control it, and I know I can't. I have a sponsor. I work with a sponsor. I am a sponsor. And I know if I ask my higher power and pray and just share about it, that God will remove from me. Remove things from me that I know I should not be using. So honesty, I guess, for me is the best policy. So before OA, I was an obese child. In the sixth grade, I already weighed 250 pounds. By the time I was in high school, I was hitting 300 pounds. One time when I was in the sixth grade, we had in the school, the nurse, we had to go for like a physical, and I'm in the sixth grade, and we were all standing in line, and the nurse would read your weight to the lady across the room so she could mark it in the book. And so to me, that was very, I was very humiliated. But thank God, by the time I got on that scale, the nurse didn't say a word. She just weighed me and said, okay, go ahead. So God's been with me all the time. And I do believe God gives us ways of surviving. For me, back before OA, I think to survive, that's probably what gave me the eating disorder in the first place. My father was an alcoholic. We moved a lot. I went to different schools, and you know, starting a new school was always very hard because the kids had to see me. But you know, I think God also gave me a sense of humor because when I would start, once I started the first couple of days of school, I would sort of like make fun of my own self, you know, which I figured I'd beat the other kids to the punch. So anyway, that always did seem to work for me. It helped. So going through high school, I went to an all-girls high school, Catholic high school, and we had to wear gym suits, and we only had gym like once a week, and the gym suits were like a one-piece culotte, and it would have to come up over your shoulders. I got the largest uniform that they had in the gym suits, and it still didn't fit me right. My mother took a piece of material, the same color, almost the same color as the gym suit. And she sewed a piece down the side to make this gym suit bigger. I didn't care what it looked like. I just wanted to look like everybody else. I wanted to be dressed the same as everybody else. I wanted to fit in, and I never really fit in. So that was kind of my high school days. I didn't date. I always felt that, I don't know where I got this kind of thinking, but I always felt like men don't want fat women. And for some reason or whatever, that seemed to stick with me. So I always felt like you were born, you were either fat or you were skinny. And if you were skinny, you had everything. You were cute. You were smart. And if you were fat, you were dumb and stupid. And that's just the low self-esteem that I had accomplished over all the years of being so overweight. So I went to many diet doctors, diet pills, did the same as everybody else. I hit that big WW program many, many times. I lost weight. When I was in first started high school, I lost over 100 pounds. And that year, my father passed away. And I don't know why. Well, I know why, because I'm a compulsive overeater. I went back and picked up the food again. And as usual, I gained all that weight back that I had already lost. So, like I said, I went through high school. All my the years I graduated, I didn't go to college. I never felt like I was smart enough to go to college. So I got a job, you know, not a very good paying job, but I got a job. And I always worked, you know, I wasn't a slouch, even as big as I was. I would go in and you know, do my best. And one time I was working in the hospital and I realized that there was a lady in there and she was really, really overweight, a lot like myself. And she had been in the hospital a number of times and she had suffered from the weight the same as me. Well, they did a surgery on her. Like I said, at this time, I'm 18 years old. So I knew nothing about the surgeries that they had. And, but she had gotten this surgery done. And my God, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. You know, it was just really fascinating for me. So right away now I'm thinking I'm going to go and I'm going to get this surgery done. And, but the more I was around her and seen her in the hospital, she really wasn't very well. I guess the surgery back at that time may not be as good as it is today, but I gave that a second thought that I thought I might not do that right now. So I never had the surgery done. When I first came into OA back in 1990, there were a lot of people going to a rehab in Florida. I was seeing a therapist. I talked to my therapist about this rehab. And he said, I was in shock that there was such a place. I never knew there were rehabs for compulsive overeaters. But anyway, he told me that my insurance would not cover me to go to a rehab. I never checked into my insurance to see if that was really true. I just believed what he said was true. And he said to me, all you need to do is to keep going to those meetings and you will not need a rehab. I really didn't like that man saying that. I hated him because I wanted to go to that rehab in the worst way. But I never got to go to a rehab. So I just continued to go to meetings. I had a sponsor that's really strongly suggested I do a 90 and 90 meeting, and that's what I did. I was going to a lot of meetings. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. So I couldn't use MapQuest or Google directions. when I had my sponsor to, and she took my food, I had to call my food in every day. I couldn't text it to her. I had to call her. And if I was going to change something on my food plan, you know, I had to text her and let her know what I was changing. And then I had to tell her why. And a lot of times I really didn't have any specific reason as to why, except that I, later on in the day, I just felt like I wanted something different than what I had called in. I finally got a little bit tired, and I'm sure she got tired of me calling and doing that. So that's when I started realizing that what I wrote down and what I called in was what I had for the day. I didn't deviate from it. I kept track of everything that I ate, and I no longer tried to change anything because I hated to have to explain to her why I wanted that, why I wanted something else. So like I said, I did the 90 and 90. Very hesitant at the beginning of that, but it definitely helped me. One other thing that definitely helped me more than anything was doing service in OA. The very first service job that I had was selling tickets at one of the meetings for the Lifeline. And I was so nervous because I couldn't remember one for a dollar and three for five. Thank you, Mikey. So, you know, I got so confused. But anyway, that was the first service that I took. I kept coming back to meetings. I went to a lot of meetings. I love the speaker meetings. I love face-to-face meetings. I love having the Zoom meetings because, boy, they're really very helpful. But like I said, I grew up in a different time in OA, and things were a lot different. So I have done service. I went to World Service. I was doing Region 7 assemblies. I was vice chair of our inner group. All those things really helped me. The more I did, the more I wanted to stay abstinent because I wanted to do the service. I wanted, not only did I want to do it, it was helping me. And, you know, I always felt less than, like I could never do a perfect job on anything, even in when I was in school, even when my son was in school. I never volunteered to do anything because I knew I couldn't do it right. And again, if I couldn't do it right, then I'm not going to do it at all. That was my go-to. And so a lot of things I never tried. But when I came to OA, when I took this vice chair president for our Page inner group, after I did that, I thought, oh my God, what were you thinking? I mean, I had really no computer skills. You know, I came up actually with this big, bright idea. I'm going to break my abstinence so I don't have to do that service. That's how afraid I was of it. But thank God that never happened. And, you know, I got to say in OA, no matter what you try to do, God will always put the right people in your life. There's a lot of folks in OA that knew a lot of things, and I had so much help. It just was a miracle how everything came together. And it made me more, less fearful of doing more service and more things, even in my regular life. You know, I did more things than I would have ever done had I not been in Overeaters Anonymous. So for me, working the steps, going to meetings, getting the sponsor, being a sponsor, all those things helped to keep me coming back. At the beginning, I shared about imperfect abstinence. I don't know if I've ever been perfect. I'm definitely not a perfect person, but and I haven't met one yet. So I just love OA. I go to four meetings a week, and I'm also in AA, and I go to AA meetings too. So I'm pretty meetinged up, and that's what helps keep me aware of my my food, especially my food compulsion compulsive overeating. So I go to meetings because I need to hear what this disease can do to you. And I go because I need to remember how painful it was back when I was eating. And so I will continue to come to Overeaters Anonymous for today. As long as I'm around and able to get to meetings, that's what I'm going to do. So anyway, I think that's about all I have to share. I'm really grateful for being on this meeting. Mikey, thank you for asking me. And thank you for letting me share.